So this morning, I'd like us to start with a little bit of a physical, physical exercise. But it won't require you to get out of your seats or break a sweat. So just to give you that expectation already. So if you don't mind, basically kind of like hug yourself. It's like 30 seconds. And so now if you don't mind, like patting, like if you can, not together, not like that, but like there's a cadence to it, right? So as you think about this, how were you comforted when you were young? All right, thank you. Appreciate it. So this morning, the title is God of All Comfort. And as you were tapping, some people, they use the tapping as a way of comforting themselves, right? And when you think about when you were young, did you seek to be comforted from your mother, or were you comforted by like going to your father, or maybe it was to your grandmother, right? How did you seek comfort? And so this morning, as we think about the God of all comfort, how does God comfort us? And even now, as we're older, right? How do we seek comfort with our significant other, right? Or how do we comfort our children? How do we comfort, how do we communicate love? That's a very common theme. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 to 7, let me just read the entire passage because we're going to go verse by verse, basically. Blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, so through Christ we also share abundantly in comfort too. So through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same suffering we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort, is the word of the Lord. The Apostle Paul is talking to, or writing this letter to the Corinthian church, right? The first letter was a little bit more disciplinarian. And the reason why I focused on 2 Corinthians is because 2 Corinthians is, in a way, how to minister to people, right? How to serve, how to engage with people. And on our first slide, we see here, blessed be our compassionate and encouraging God. It says here, blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. When you think about God, there's many different views on God. One view is that God is a clockmaker, and he wound a clock, you know, he wound the world up, he created everything, and then put it on a shelf and no longer engages with it. But this with this picture, with this verse, we see that God is a God who engages in our lives, right? He's not just a God that's far away, but a God who's near. He's not just a God that has no relationship, but he's God the Father, right? He also is a God who gave us Jesus Christ, and the God of mercies, and the God of comfort. The first word there, blessed, is not something that's very common, right? I don't know who here actually uses blessed a lot. I know somebody in our church uses blessed a lot, but it's not a very common word, right? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall inherit the earth. That's in like the New Testament, right? All the Beatitudes, basically. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. So this one, basically, it says it's a praise to God. It's a praise to the God, our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. And this morning, that's really the goal for us all, is that we come away with this meditation, through this meditation, as worshipers. We come away from this morning as being grateful to God because of what He has done, what He will do, and what He is doing now. Blessed be the God, the Father. I don't know how you view your Father, right? But God is viewed as someone, again, that is relational. Someone that is engaging. Someone that is caring. It's said that our parents are our longest relationship, right? Our children, you know, are after our parents. Our spouse is after our parents, usually, right? Everybody else is after our parents. Our parents, we have the longest engagement relationship with our parents. And so I think this is fitting that God the Father is someone that we know, that we engage with. Also, it sums up, blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the engagement of God doesn't stop with God the Father, but it also continues on with our Lord Jesus Christ, who came, who lived, suffered, died, and rose again. Right? So God decided to come down, tabernacle, to tent, put up a tent, and be with us as well. And this is important because as we go through the passage, right, it's talking about suffering. It's talking about affliction. And our view of God is very important when it comes to that. Is God far away when I'm afflicted? When there's a lot of medical issues happening? When people are dying or there's wars about? Does God really care to comfort us, to comfort others as well? What type of God is He? And so we have to meditate upon the character and actions of our God. It also here describes that God is the Father of mercies. The Father of mercies. And really, mercy is the cessation of judgment. Grace, though, is more abounding. And we'll go and get to that later on, but in the latter part of the passage. But mercy is when we live our lives or we conduct sin or commit sin, but yet the judgment of God is put away or is stopped. I really appreciate the confession, the prayer. It's like, man, that's really a great prayer. In meditating upon our lives, I think it's always important to remember that we are forgiven sinners. That we're forgiven sinners, but we continue to sin as well. I think it's always great to live life knowing that we are forgiven. So we are no better than others, and we also need to share the gospel as well because we are forgiven. And lastly, that last part there, it says, God of all comfort. God of all comfort. So how do we know, how does it expand to the idea of God of all comfort? There's a quote in the New Testament says that in the New Testament term, there are three basic meanings to comfort. Encouragement and exhortation, appeal request, and comfort and consultation. The comfort that Paul shows is that it is strengthening in the face of adversity that affords spiritual refreshment. Basically, the comfort that we're going to be, that we see here is not just like it's going to be okay. But it's a comfort that tells us how we can courageously move forward in life. Anybody know where this is? I think I saw some of you. Does anybody remember this one? So this one is the praise and worship team at the the prayer, National Day of Prayer. And really, we as we think about our week, right, as we think about what we've gone through in the week, and we come here to praise and worship God, I just really get a sense that and appreciate that Faith Church does praise God. Like in, what was the first hymn? What's the first hymn that we sang? I forgot. Every blessing. Come Thou Fountain, right? So Come Thou Fountain, it's like, I think when we sing together, it's really, again, a type of prayer, right? It's a type of unified prayer that despite what happened the whole week, we come together and we praise God together. That we still believe that God is faithful and good. Next verse 4, is that the God of all comfort is the God who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted. Again, the act of comfort here is to encourage us to act boldly, to embolden one another in a belief or course of action. The comfort that Paul has in mind here is not just of contentment, tranquilizing us in a dose of grace, but a comfort that moves us towards action, strengthening us in our hope. So there's a purpose to the pain, right? There's a purpose to the affliction that we have to go through. And that's difficult to think through. The God of all comfort, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the blessed God, comforts us in all our affliction. In all our affliction. Has God comforted you in all your affliction? Or do we sometimes believe that God doesn't really care about my past afflictions? Or God doesn't really care about the pain that I'm going through right now? It's really interesting that the word says, God comforts us in all of our affliction. Not just an affliction that's, you know, He only comforts my spiritual affliction. It doesn't comfort my mental affliction or physical affliction. You know, He only comforts my affliction that I know about. Maybe God even comforts us in an affliction that we don't even know about, you know. In a crowd this size, I'm sure there's somebody that's afflicted right now or suffering, right? Maybe they're already in physical pain. They took ibuprofen just so they can make it, right? Or, you know, Tylenol, just so they can, like, sit for a little bit. But really, they'd prefer to stand because they're in pain, right? Maybe there's somebody here that is worried about tomorrow or work, but, you know, they're still here. And I just want to encourage you this morning that God, the Father, the God of all mercies, cares about each and everybody's affliction. This is where it gets a bit more difficult or more encouraging, I guess, is that God cares for us because there's a reason for it, right? So that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction. So there's pain and there's purpose in the pain. Again, in a crowd this size, I just want to be careful in that, you know, I know that some of us have experienced maybe trauma, you know, abuse and evil in our past, and even maybe in our present. And so I don't mean to diminish your pain, right? But I also want to acknowledge it, because, you know, maybe there's something that God wants to do with even that in the past. God comforts us in all our affliction so that we are able to comfort those who are in any affliction. So this tells us that basically each and every one of us can minister to anyone specifically. And in a way, it tells us that each and every one of us has a unique ministry, because we have been uniquely afflicted throughout the years, and now we can therefore comfort others. But it's a very specific comfort, with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So that means that, does that necessarily mean that we have to be comforted before we can comfort others? And that's not true, because later on in the verse, Christ comforts us as well. Again, verse 4, God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that, for the purpose that, we are able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. This next photo is a photo of the Dead Sea on the, I think you can't read it, but the Dead Sea on the left, and then the Sea of Galilee on the right. The Sea of Galilee can be full of fish. You know, you can fish there. There's life in there, and the surrounding area is green. But the Dead Sea, which only receives water and there's no outlet, it's very difficult. You can actually swim, but probably not inside it. I know someone who, it was very difficult to swim in it. And so with that idea, we should continue to live our lives, or we should live lives that seek to bless others. Not only so that we can receive and hoard things, but rather be willing to engage with others as well. That the blessing of God doesn't stop with us, but it continues on to others. I know we can get comfortable in where we are, and like, man, I'm already so busy. I don't know if I could like do more. And I understand. I think, though, that we should continually ask the question how we can continue to engage and encourage others as well. This is another encouragement. Verse 5, for as we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. When we're baptized in Christ, it says in Romans, right, we share our identity with Christ. And really, this is the only way that we can justify all our sufferings, present or past, present, and future. For if we share in Christ abundantly in his suffering, you know, his life, death, and resurrection, we too now share the abundance and comfort. Like I said earlier, how the mercy of God stops judgment. Christ's work, his grace, gives us even more. Gives us peace of mind that though there is death, we have hope in the resurrection, right? Though there is sin and we commit sin, even though how much we try to not sin, there is forgiveness, right? Though our loved ones may suffer, we know we take hope that in their suffering, Christ can comfort them, right? We may seek to do many, many physical things to comfort other people, but really it is the comfort of Christ that really can comfort others. And so we have to make sure that the comfort that we give has to be centered around Christ. It has to be centered around Christ. It can't be a comfort that we give others that is fleeting or temporal. It is not a comfort that we make up from ourselves. But really, it has to be a comfort that is centered through Christ. Because only through Christ can that comfort be eternal. Because we want to minister and engage with an overflowing of abundance. Recently, I've been taking a class also online. It's called Clinical Pastoral Education. And it basically, it's about the minister is the one, who the minister is really how you best serve others. Basically, if you're not well, how can you serve others well? If you're prone to take your affirmation from others, then you will use your clients for affirmation, right? If you're hungry and tired and didn't sleep, then maybe you're not really listening to the person that's across from you. So this idea that really, how we engage with others, how we minister to others, is important. If Christ has not healed our afflictions, how can we therefore encourage others to be healed in Christ as well? So this verse here, it says, if we are afflicted, it's conditional, but really, I don't think it's if, it's like when. if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure sufferings that we suffer. So again, it expounds on the idea of what exactly are we to do, right? What's our goal? And this verse, I think, indirectly addresses the problem of evil. It addresses the problem of sin. It addresses the problem of suffering in our lives. Because if we are afflicted, it's really for your comfort and your salvation. For if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you will experience when you patiently endure. It's not always easy to sacrifice to be with others, right? I think, you know, as parents, you're like, this is an affliction. No. Parenting is not easy, right? Parenting, I think, can be a form of, like, you know, I don't know if you know, but there's this statistic where it says, like, happiness in terms of age and time period, you know, like, so happiness for couples is good when they don't have kids, and then happiness goes down when they have kids, and then high school, it's still down, but then, like, later on, it goes back up again. My point is that there is difficulty in parenting. You can tell, because not a lot of people are wanting to have kids these days. I think Africa is the only nation that's like having enough children for the next generation. China with its one-child policy, Korea with its, Japan, Philippines, Europe, even the U.S., all declining in birth rates. Don't really know why, but I think part of it is that, you know, many people don't want to be afflicted. They don't want to suffer. They don't want to really, I think, on that one. But statistically, there are less and less less and less. The population declines. So if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. I think about your workplaces. You know, like sometimes you... I hope that you are encouraged to stay so that you can minister to others. Maybe you stay because you seek to share the gospel with others, right? And really, this is very bulletproof. It almost tells you that you need to stay where it's difficult. You need to patiently endure where you're at so that you can comfort others and so that you can share the salvation with others. Again, I have to be clear, right? I'm not saying that you should stay in an abusive relationship or that kind of thing. And again, how do you know, right? How do you know whether you should stay or not? One way is to talk to those that love you and also talk to the elders and those in the church. But overall, it's challenging us that we should stay in suffering, stay in affliction, stay in a way discomfort so that we can comfort others and bring about salvation. It's really difficult because it's calling us to patiently endure, which is contrast to our culture, right? Our culture tells us not to endure, not to do difficult things. So, mothers can be afflicted, right? Teachers can be afflicted. Pastors, ministers can suffer. Fathers, church members, military service. Everyone here can suffer so that in the end you have that that confidence that you will be comforted. But as you are afflicted, you are therefore able to still minister to those, to others, because you have already been comforted. Again, it's saying if, but really it's when there's affliction. The goal is endurance. Athletes, you know, continue to train. They basically continue to be afflicted, and athletes train and they basically sacrifice so that they can get better and endure. This is the last verse, but real application after this. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. In the Apostle Paul, when he's sharing the story of his life in 2 Corinthians, he talks about the shipwrecks, he talks about the floggings, he talks about being close to death, basically, right? And so this is the context. He hasn't shared it yet, but he's saying that our hope is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, right, with persecution, with physical ailments, with that thorn in the flesh that Paul never really describes what it is specifically, you will also share in our comfort. So I know this is not necessarily the best news for you all, that yeah, you will suffer, but not at least, but there is the confidence that as you suffer, you will also be comforted. And that in your comfort, you can also encourage others as well. So there's a linear chart. Hopefully that's helpful. First, you'll be afflicted. Then you'll receive comfort. And then you will give comfort to others. And then you are able to grow in endurance. Paul models an appropriate response to suffering, which resonates with power and beauty. It's easy why he gives that praise in verse 3. The Apostle praises God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, because of the God's compassion and encouragement in verse 3. And if we are entangled in Christian ministry, we're desperately need both. Once such compassion and encouragement are received, we also need to be characterized by blessing God or praising God. God's good gifts should elicit praise. Moreover, God should be praised as a redeemer of our suffering. Redeemer of our suffering. For he enables Paul and his ministry team to minister encouragement to others out of the encouragement that they themselves have experienced. The Corinthians are thus encouraged with the same type of encouragement that Paul receives and are marked as a true community of faith. The pattern of suffering and encouragement tags them as involved in an authentic form of Christian koinonia. So, I don't know where you are in the chart. You know, maybe you're at you're growing in your endurance. Maybe you're being afflicted. Maybe you're already being comforted. But wherever you are on the chart, there's always a step, a next step. And it's, I think a better chart would be like more, it's like cyclical, right? As we're afflicted and suffering, we receive comfort. As we receive comfort, we can give comfort. And as we receive comfort, and give comfort, we can also grow in endurance. It really helps us to grow and be encouraged that wherever we are, whether it's painful or not, or wherever what's happening, we can always be encouraged that we are comforted by the God of all comfort. So in terms of application, number one, worship deeply, whether that's through prayer or through praise and worship with the church. We can worship deeply or truthfully because we know of the afflictions that we have been comforted in. We worship deeply because we know of God's faithfulness throughout the years in our lives. We worship deeply because we know that God cares for every affliction that we have suffered. Not just, again, the spiritual suffering. Number two, seek encouragement holistically. Or seek comfort from God holistically. As you think about your life or where your life is now, where do you think God wants you to be, to give to Him to receive comfort? You know, we are all in different stages of our lives. Where does God want us to receive comfort, right? Where have we lied to ourselves and say, oh, you know, God doesn't care about that, you know, or it's not really that important? But in verse 4, again, it says that God comforts us in all our affliction, every affliction. Number three, give Jesus Christ abundantly. And that's the verse earlier where it says that as we suffer so that you can be comforted and it is for your salvation. Right? We need to comfort others not with temporal comfort, but with the comfort of Jesus Christ. And lastly, endure hardship patiently. Yeah, not easy. Endure hardship patiently. There's some hardship that I think won't stop, but still we can be encouraged in that as well. Again, thinking back to the slides of mothers and fathers in the church, where is God calling you today and tomorrow? Where does He want you to receive comfort? Where does He want you to give comfort? Maybe you need to share your affliction and suffering experience so that you can comfort others. Maybe in tears. Maybe God is calling you to endure today and now. And still have the confidence that you are comforted. Let us pray. Lord, as we close in prayer, our gracious, great Father God, the God of all comfort, the Father which we receive all comfort through Christ. Lord, through your promises of your word, which brings us comfort to all present here today, we ask that no affliction, no suffering, and no pain is wasted or neglected, but rather that through Jesus Christ, all our sufferings will be redeemed from the past to the present and to the future. Now, Father, help us to have that confidence that whatever we may encounter, whatever suffering, whatever tomorrow brings, may we be confident that you can redeem it. You can comfort us because you are a God of comfort. Lord, I pray that you would continue to encourage all those here in Faith Church. May we seek daily your encouragement and help us to apply all these things. In Christ's name, amen.